Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. Dr. John Swanson has blessed our listening audience for the past 6 months with a series we've titled Building Biblical End Time Perspective. And at the conclusion of the series in June, he agreed to come back with a follow-up series that we're going to call Contemporary Eschatology. But before we start in on this series, I would like to properly introduce you to Dr. John Swanson. He is the Executive Director of Endurance Ministries, which addresses current cultural affairs in light of eschatological end times data in God's precious word. The ministry takes a thematic approach while at the same time offering chronological insights as explicitly outlined in the Bible. I love that part. John's conviction concerning the need for not only ministry to college community, but to us listeners is greater than ever. He continues to be amazed at the growing skepticism toward the most basic truths in Jesus Christ. He has ministered as an instructor in Bible colleges and seminaries around the world, including Russia, Moldova, and the Philippines, and even here in our own backyard in Gresham, Oregon, at the Oregon College of Ministry, where I first met him as a professor. He is the author of The Final Trumpet, Rapture Gathering, and Introduction, which represents one of the fastest-growing end-time positions today. He is always open to your questions, comments, and is available to speak in churches and educational settings, offering a wide range of presentations tied to the Truth Matters theme, Truth Foundations. Well, John, welcome back, and thank you for agreeing to continue our conversation on this most important topic.
Thank you.
Contemporary eschatology. Mm-hmm. I'd like to introduce our next series together in this way, if it's all right with you. Mm-hmm. I'd ask that you give us samples in our broadcast today as to what's coming by way of our programs with you as we emphasize contemporary culture concerns every second week of the month between now and the end of the year. So the program's heard on Thursday afternoons at 2 on the FM side, 93.9, and on Saturday mornings at 10:30 on the AM side at 8 a.m. Or excuse me, at 800 a.m. on the dial, but at 10:30.
That's an excellent idea, dear sister in Christ. Well, especially in light of all that's taking place in global culture these days. Wow. Well, so let me begin by reminding our listening audience of our schedule. So this month, we're introducing a series, and we'll do so as you have just suggested. So we'll cite examples of past, present, and future end-time concerns, which God's Word clearly raises. Next month, we'll spend some time highlighting end-time matters that have already taken place over the past couple decades, say. In this August broadcast, we'll also celebrate God's faithful word as to the source of accurate future prediction. In September, we'll press on to discuss end time matters that are unfolding presently. In October, we'll then move on to talk about crucial future things not so far from us today, things which we must be prepared for as outlined in God's precious word to us. Remember, Leslie, it's that we're sheep, we're his sheep that need to hear his voice. In November, we'll emphasize the expression of faith through action and speak to being doers of the word and not hearers only. A lot of emphasis on application. And then in December, Lord willing, we'll close 2017 with a special concluding broadcast.
Oh, sweet. Okay, John, so whet our appetite as to next month's broadcast.
Okay. Well, much has already taken place by way of end-time Bible prophecy. It's simply miraculous as to the accuracy of God's prophetic word on this topic. Things have been shaping up in such unusual ways, ways which allow for the unfolding of other Bible predictions to unfold, things which are yet future. So, Leslie, surprise, I'd like to ask you to be the one who gives some examples as to fulfilled end-time Bible prophecy concerning false prophets, ones which have already taken place. Could you do that?
I can do that. It's like good grief. I shouldn't say this, but I will. I call them pathetic prophetics.
Oh.
You know, but there have been many, you know, dating back to the beginning, I guess, you know. And I think about, you know, in 1840, William Miller began to preach about the world's end and said it would be in March of 1843 to March of 1844. And, of course, it didn't happen. So he moved the date to October. Hmm. And, again, it didn't happen.
Okay.
Okay. I think we all can remember, the book series by Hal Lindsey, Late Great Planet Earth, and which predicted the world would end December 31st, 1988. And once again, it didn't happen, but boy, popularized the prophecy and time books that have come out since then, and movies, oh my word. And based off of that 1988 date, do you remember Edgar Wisenant, who wrote the book titled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Be in 1988?
Well, Leslie, that was actually before my time.
Oh, you are so bad.
No. I do remember this. Yet another fulfillment of Bible prophecy concerning false prophetic peel.
I'm going to get you for this. You know, that's almost 30 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But guess what? We're still here.
We are.
And just like Mr. Miller, he changed the date several times after that first prophecy didn't happen. And, you know, what can I say? We're still here.
Right.
Can I give one more that's closer to our year now?
I think I could relate to that one.
Oh, okay. In 1992, when you were just a child, evangelist Harold Camping published a book called 1994 and claimed the world would end in September. I think we have somebody doing that now, too. And he based this off of calculations and dates and numbers he supposedly found in the Bible. And when that didn't happen, again, he moved it to the next year in March. And, you know, it also yet another false prophecy, which claimed the rapture and the end of the world would come in 2011, which we're still here.
Yeah. Your examples are important. You know, these folks contributed to the bringing of much darkness, given so many were disappointed when their claims did not unfold as promised.
Yeah.
But God's predictions are so different. His word is spectacular in that what he forecasts will happen. It will indeed take place. Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, in this case of end time Bible prophecy, your examples serve as cases in point, because the Bible predicts that many false prophets and teachers will be present during the days of the end. These examples that you just mentioned are in-house, that is, they're in the church, examples of multiple contemporary concerns, but there are also many outhouse, or should I say, secular world examples, which we could mention too. These are important aspects of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
You know, there was Y2K for January 1st, 2000, and I remember standing out ringing in the new year. Oh, and of course, the New Age belief that December 21st, 2012 would bring the end as the Mayan calendar stopped.
Okay.
Got that one? But amen, John. Yeah. God's word is awesome. And in light of it being written by the one who knows all things, including future things, I'm going to turn the tables on you. Can you now give us one example of present day things which also fulfill end time Bible prophetic insight?
Yes, Leslie, and this would actually be a sample of what we will be bringing in our September broadcast when we address current expressions of false teaching related to the end of days.
Good.
Okay, today as we speak, there are some who are once again fulfilling Bible prophecy as they herald false teachings concerning the return of our Lord. They say this coming September 23rd will bring, among other things, the rapture of the church. Leslie, in light of God's word, we have some problems here.
Well, the word states no one knows the day or the hour of Jesus Christ's return, right?
Yes.
So as these folks proclaim a date of Christ's return, they can be, even before the event fails to take place, they can be labeled false end time teachers because no one knows the day or the hour.
No one knows. Amen. That's from our Lord. Exactly. And that's not the whole of it, though. We know, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, that Jesus Christ will not make his initial appearance until two things first take place. Number one, the apostasy or the falling away from the faith. And number two, the man of lawlessness or the man of sin is revealed. The first is in the process of being fulfilled today. There is an unfolding of a falling away from the faith. But the second one, Leslie, is yet future. The man of sin has not yet been revealed.
Okay, John, that sure sufficient whetting of our appetite for September's broadcast. And given what you just said, let's move on to a sample of what we'll be addressing in October. Future end time things, but a sample other than the upcoming revealing of the man of lawlessness.
Okay. Yeah, the revealing of the man of sin, the Antichrist, is future. Here's yet another future prediction from the Word. God's Word clearly states famines will be a part of the early signs before Jesus Christ's return. We find this in Mark 13 and the parallel gospel accounts where the birth pain signs are given. The Word of God also states a great famine will unfold as we venture through the seals of Revelation. The third seal indicates scarcity of food on a global scale. This is great famine, Leslie, and it is yet future.
You know, are there ways we can today better prepare for this event of Bible prophecy?
Yes, and that's sweet because that just happens to be the focus of our broadcast in November, application of Bible insight as to how we should live in these unusual days. Yeah.
Okay. But John, what if this doesn't take place? What if you end up being wrong on this matter?
Those are two great questions. Well, the difference between us and the Wiseman camping crowd is great. They not only predicted things the Word of God did not predict, in other words, extra-biblical things they predicted, but they also went on to predict falsely in light of God's Word. They actually taught things in opposition to God's Word. They did both. Those who are suggesting September 23rd is the return of the Lord for His church also make claims that are in opposition to the Word.
Oh, okay, I'm game. How?
Well, they make interpretive appeals beyond what the Bible actually states, and then they also go on to teach in opposition to the clear teachings of the Word. In this case, as you just mentioned, actually, Leslie, it's tied to no one knowing the day or the hour. Because they claim a specific day will bring the rapture, we know they are incorrect given the teachings of our Lord. In contrast, we, on the other hand, to the camping Hagee and the 2017 appeals, we are predicting things the Word of God actually predicts, and we're not teaching things in opposition to His Word. So there's a huge principle here. A family of God in Jesus Christ, let's all honor the Word while at the same time discern those who are teaching falsely about end times. And Leslie, we'll turn it again around to you. How do we discern this?
Is this a question for me?
Yes, it's a non-rhetorical.
Oh.
How is it that we are able to know what's false and what's true, given the many false teachers and prophets that are in the world today?
Well, by applying the plumb line to the question, we open God's Word to check to see whether or not the Word actually does indeed teach the claims being made, right?
Exactly. But the false teachers are subtle in that, on occasion, their actions are sometimes such that they use the Word of God as a platform to bring false predictions.
That's scary.
Yeah, well, for example, the September appeals are on occasion tied to interpretive claims about Revelation 12. But are they correct in their interpretive opinions? No, in light of explicit Bible truth, they are not. Present in our culture are those who use the Bible in ways which twist its messages, who use the Bible to bring false claims.
Seems to remind me of Satan using half-truths with Jesus in the desert. Mm-hmm. You know, use part of the Word just to get you hooked, you know. All I can say is, oh, great. You know, so how do we deal with this concern now?
Well, you just answered your good question, Leslie. Again, it's the Word of God. Let me explain. If we hear from so-called Bible teachers some things, well, we need to check out what they say.
Agreed.
We need to go to the Word of God and see if the Word actually teaches the things that are being claimed. If Leslie, folks took this approach when John Hagee was teaching on the blood moons of 2014-2015.
I remember that.
Yeah, if they would have done that, if they would have gone to the scriptures to see the counsel, the full counsel of the Word of God, they would have discerned the false appeals. Fact is, some did that. They did indeed go to the Word and check out what was being said. And as a result, they saw some contradictions and inconsistencies. But Leslie, some didn't. They simply believed the false teachings and suffered some sad consequences as a result. And I can go to his book on the blood moons to illustrate false teachings, but time simply doesn't allow. We have addressed this, though, in other radio broadcasts, which are posted on your website and through our blog ministry at currentmatters.org.
Oh, good. I'm glad you reminded our audience that you have that there. And again, if you look back on our broadcast tab, you can look at all of the presentations that Dr. John has given us on this topic, and that's heartofthesaviorministries.org. John, we have just enough time for some concluding remarks, which I'm going to leave up to you. Make a few, again, as samples of what we will be bringing, Lord willing, in December when we conclude this series.
Okay, and it's a sweet conclusion. Folks, the Word of God does not fail us. The false teachers, some of which reside in churches today, they do. Well, how do we discern the difference between truth and falsehood? We go to the Word of God for help. So we'd encourage you to go to our many websites for online documents which quote the Word of God on end time matters. Go, for example, to www.endmin.org, and you'll find truth as God's Word is presented. That is, end time Bible passages are quoted. Go to truthfoundations.com and you'll find an important Bible illustration from Matthew 27. It's posted on our quote, our concern, unquote page.
Okay. I'd like to read a passage today in support of this appeal, John, if that's okay with you.
God's Word is always welcome. And I'm so thankful we share this perspective.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
So the passage is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's verses 1 through 5. So here we go. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal haters of good. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. I think that says it right there. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people do good through fleshly effort, but it's without the power of God to bring about God-pleasing acts. So, wow, what a current, accurate description of culture today.
Absolutely. See it? Oh, my goodness, it's scary.
And allow me, if you would, to include the closing sentence of that fifth verse. God not only gives us heads up as to cultural stuff, he also tells us how to respond to some of this stuff. So after all these things describing the end of days, character qualities of the end of days, he goes on to say, and from such people turn away. God would have his people who are in the world, as his witness, also separate from the world at times. The balance between being in the world but not of the world in the setting of end-time living is further outlined in actually our third printing of the book that we're just picking up at the bindery called The Final Trumpet Rapture Gathering and Introduction, and it's now available. So all you have to do is go to blog 2217 on our currentmatters.org site for details as to how to order this helpful tool.
Oh, you know, John, once again, this has been illuminating, and I can't thank you enough for agreeing to do this.
Well, Leslie, to be frank, thanks for allowing us on your program. We do care very much for God's sheep in Christ Jesus our Lord and unbelievers who are yet to find him. And as a result of care for the body of Christ, we live out what 1 John 5:2 commands by way of loving God's children. We want to speak the truth in love, appeal to God's commandments and obedience to him, and in safety and protection as he has so outlined.
Well, and it takes a brave heart in order to do that. I mean, I think about past prophets in the Bible who had to do amazing things and come up against people and speak out to them about things that were to come or to happen or that they were walking incorrectly and how hard that is. So I know that you do that, and I thank you for your tough love for God's people. And I know it's a challenge at times, given some take offense at your appeals, but because they are pressing Bible truth, you endure in this assignment. And so thank you for, by God's grace, being a faithful ambassador on his behalf.
Amen. But by the grace of God, you are such a sweet encourager, dear sister in Christ. Nancy and I sure love you, dear sister.
Well, I love your wife, too. She's just precious. And she prays for us before every program that we do, and I love it.
And through the programming.
Yep, absolutely. She's in the corner with her hands going, oh, Lord, please. No.
Have mercy.
Let the words come out of their mouths that are supposed to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually love where this next series is going, and we set these goals, and I'm going to just, for this next series, to further evidence God's accurate prophetic word, to make appeal for present-day application of his word, to be his salt and light, his ambassadors, during these days filled with great gospel and discipleship opportunities, because there are...
Oh, many in the context of, well, people are curious about end time things. Well, what does the Bible say? Opportunities for then discipleship and or gospel presentation.
And to glorify our soon coming King, yeah. Jesus Christ our Lord. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. God is good.
Well, you know, I'd like to today give a special thanks to Riggleman's Appliance in Gresham, Oregon. This is a three-generation family-owned business, and they've been serving the Pacific Northwest for over 52 years, providing quality service and products, and their entire crew of employees are there to help you select the products that best meet your needs with a no-pressure sales approach, which I value, and you will walk away knowing that you have been served with honesty and integrity. You can visit them at 301 East Powell Boulevard in Gresham and tell them that you heard it right here on KBDQ from Reverend Leslie of Heart of the Savior Ministries. John, do you have a final word for us today?
Well, let me share one. It's a most encouraging thing. There are a few places in Scripture where God talks about end time things, and then he goes on to say, comfort one another in these things.
Oh, love it.
That's in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. But I'm going to read just a couple verses out of 1 Corinthians 15, and it begins with verse 51. It's sweet encouragement because the things that God promises in his word, they are sure hope. It says this, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Amen. What hope and encouragement that is.
What a sweet promise.
I always want to leave our listeners with that hope and promise and that encouragement, because we're not just here to preach doom and gloom. We're here to preach the Word of God in all of its truth and stick to that, yeah, and not put our own little twist on it.
Right. That's right. If we're ambassadors, we got to remember that we're his ambassadors. So we want to represent him, not our opinions, our stuff.
Well, and as you said earlier, we are called to be in this world, but not of this world. And that's a really hard thing for all of us.
Especially in these days where godlessness abounds more and more. It just seems to mushroom, like God is allowing ugliness of sin and darkness to really expose itself.
Well, we look forward to those opportunities to,
yes,
speak his truth. Well, our time has come to a close today, so we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's Word the every breath that you take this week. So, as we love to say here, as always, in his service, his ambassadors, his hands extended to a hurting world, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest and friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.